In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
When we read the first verse in this event, in St. Matthew it is written, "Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves." So after 6 days, St. Mark says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and led them up on a high mountain." And in the Gospel of St. Luke, it is mentioned that "Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray." Why I read these three verses? Because when it is mentioned after 6 days or on the eighth day, that means this event is connected or related to what happened a week before. And that's why there is a connection after 6 days or on the eighth day. And there is no difference between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because Matthew, Mark, they said after 6 days. So if Jesus said these things on, for example, Sunday, then after 6 days, which are Monday through Saturday, so after these 6 days, the Sunday, the following Sunday, will be the eighth day from the other Sunday. So either you say on the eighth day or after 6 days, both are right. So let us go first to see what are the sayings that the Lord said 6 days before or 1 week before, and see the importance of these things. Actually, 1 week before the Transfiguration, on this day many things happened. Number one, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He was asking about, what do you think? What the people say about me? So the disciples said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he asked the disciples, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. The flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." And the word flesh and blood refers to human beings. It is not a revelation or a knowledge you got it from a human being, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, of course not Peter, but this rock means on the rock of faith, that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So, what happened exactly? Number one, the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. So, on this day, it was revealed to Simon Peter that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the first point. Is revelation of the divinity of Jesus Christ. And number two, he said to Peter and to the disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. So, the revelation of the divinity of Christ, number one. Number two, the promise of establishing the church, as he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And number three, the authority of the priesthood. I'll give you the keys of kingdom, and whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you lose on earth, and will be lost in heaven. And then he said to the disciples, from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. So from that time, for the first time, Jesus starts to tell his disciples that he should enter Jerusalem, be suffered, be killed, and be raised on the third day. So, what happens on this day? Number one, revelation of the divinity of Jesus Christ, promise of the establishment of the church. Number three, the authority of the priesthood. And number four, the first announcement of crucifixion and resurrection. But Peter, who just a few minutes ago said to the Lord, you are Christ, Son of the living God. So when he heard Jesus saying, Jesus said that Son of Man will be suffered, killed, and be raised on the third day, he took him aside and began to rebuke him, rebuke Christ, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. He couldn't comprehend, or he couldn't accept. It was very hard on him to accept that Christ, who did all these miracles, that Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, whom they were awaiting for so many years, and according to the thinking of the Jews at this time, they are looking for the Messiah to free them from the Roman Empire and to re-establish the kingdom of their father David. So Peter couldn't accept this. No, this cannot be happening to you. Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But the Lord turned to him and said to Peter, no, few minutes after the Lord said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus was upset, angry, mad at Peter, and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And he called him Satan because it is not a curse, but because this thought is from Satan. So Jesus rebuked Satan. No, I came to the world for this hour, for crucifixion, to save my people from their sins. So anyone, any thought that wants me not to be crucified, any thought that asking me not to die on behalf of my people, it's from Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then Jesus said to them, it is not only me that I will be killed and crucified, But you, my followers, you, my disciples, if you want to gain your life, if you want to have the eternal life, you must deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. And he said this verse, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he will reward each one according to his works. Deny yourself, carry your cross, for the Son of Man will come in his glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. And he concluded his talk by this verse. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So I want you to think about the disciples on that day. I think most of them were confused because they got so many messages. And actually, it was, or these messages were very different to them. It was very hard for them to accept all these messages. For example, I think the first doubt was Jesus really Christ, Son of God, or not? And if he is Son of God, how can he suffer and be killed? And then Jesus asked them to deny themselves and to carry their cross and to follow him. And of course, it is not easy to accept this. To deny yourself, carry my cross, and follow the steps of Christ. How can I know that this is the right way? So there was a promise. The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with all his angels and give each one according to his deeds. But how can we know that what you are saying is true? Because you ask us to do something very difficult. You ask us to deny ourselves and to carry our cross and to follow you. We thought that you came to reestablish the kingdom of our father David, but you say no, I came to die for you. How can we know that if we follow you, and if we deny ourselves, and if we carry our cross, we will be glorified with you in your kingdom? And what kind of kingdom we are speaking about? Because we are thinking about earthly kingdom, but I think you mean another kingdom. What kind of kingdom you want to tell us about? So Jesus promised them and told them, there are some of you who are standing here will not die until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So I think this statement assured them, okay, some of us will see him coming in his kingdom. So if we don't see this, that means maybe we cannot believe him. But if we saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, in his glory, then we will believe. We will believe. And after 6 days, or on the 8th day, Jesus took 3 of his disciples and went up on a mountain and transfigured in front of them. What does this mean? Of course, the transfiguration means Jesus in his glory, because as the 3 Gospels describe, his clothes were glistening, shining like snow, his face was shining like the sun, so that is the glory. Jesus promised then that the Son of Man will come in His glory, or in the glory of His Father, with His angels, to reward each one according to his deeds. And 6 days later, they saw the Son of Man in His glory. And this was the kingdom. When Jesus said to them, some of you will not die until see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom, He was referring to see to this instance, to His transfiguration on the mountain. This is His kingdom. And why 6 days or on the 8th day? Why? You know, number 6 reminds us with crucifixion. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the 6th day, Friday. If Sunday is the 1st day, Friday will be the 6th day. And He was crucified in the 6th hour, noon time. As we say in the Agbaya, O you who on the 6th day and on the 6th hour was nailed on the cross. And as the psalm says, the Lord reigns on a wood. Of course, this wood is the wood of the cross. The throne of God is the wood of the cross. The Lord reigns on a wood. So He declares His kingdom, but not an earthly one, but His heavenly kingdom, on the 6th day and on the 6th hour. And that's why on Good Friday we sing this hymn, Dec Thronos, which means Your throne, O God. We look to the cross and we see the cross as the throne of God. So we start to sing to Him, Your throne, O God, is eternal one. Number 8 is the number of resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead on the 8th day. Now, if the week is 7 days, so the 8th day is the beginning of the new week, beginning of a new life. And resurrection means it's the beginning of a new life. Our life in the eternity is a new life. So God created the world in 6 days. Now we are living in the 7th day, and the 8th day will be the day of resurrection. And here there is a connection between the crucifixion and the glory of resurrection. The only way to this glory is the cross. You cannot be glorified with God unless you deny yourself, carry your cross, follow Christ. And on the cross, Christ revealed Himself as God incarnate to Satan. Because during the 33 years, which is the life of Christ on earth, Satan was not sure that this man is Christ, the Son of God. And in many occasions, Satan asked this question through people or whatever, if you are the Son of God, do so and so. If you are the Son of God, do so and so. Until the time of cross, of crucifixion, Satan said through people, said to the Lord, if you are the Son of God, descend from cross and we will believe in you. But when
Jesus delivered his soul, and Satan tried to catch the soul of Christ. Christ revealed his divinity to the devil, and the devil knew that he is the son of the living God. So we see here the connection between the sayings that happened 8 days or 6 days before Transfiguration and this event. Because Jesus revealed, or Peter said, "You are Son of the Living God," revelation of the divinity of Christ. And Jesus spoke about his death and his resurrection, and spoke about the church and the authority of the priesthood, and spoke about you must deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. And he promised them that some of them will see Jesus in his glory. And 1 week later, the divinity of Christ was revealed. They saw his glory. So his divinity was revealed. And not only they saw his glory, but they heard a voice coming from heaven, the voice of the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And this voice, this statement, is the same statement that John the Baptist heard it when he baptized Jesus. So this is my beloved Son. So it's a revelation of the divinity of Christ. And number 6 and 8, symbolizing the suffering, crucifixion, and resurrection. And they saw him in his glory. The glory in which he will come in the second coming to judge the living and the dead and give each one according to his deeds. Jesus took with him 3 disciples. Peter, James, and John. And these 3 disciples went to Jesus in many places. For example, they went with him when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And they went with him in Gethsemane after the Last Supper, these 3 disciples. And also on the mountain of Transfiguration, he took these 3 disciples with him. Why these 3 disciples? Of course, what I'm going to say right now is just a meditation. These 3 disciples reflect the 3 major virtues in Christianity. Of course, John the Beloved, he is symbolizing the virtue of love. And when you hear or you read his gospel or his letters, you can see how he spoke about love, the virtue of love. And we call him John the Beloved. So John symbolizes the virtue of love. James symbolizes the virtue of faith. When you read in his letter, first chapter, St. James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And he spoke about the faith. So John, symbolizing the virtue of love, James, symbolizing the virtue of faith, and Peter spoke about the hope. So Peter, symbolizing the virtue of hope, as you read in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So these three disciples are symbolizing the three main virtues in the Christian life, the virtue of love, faith, and hope. And on the mountain, two prophets from the Old Testament appeared with Jesus. So when we look in the church, we see the victorious church attending with us the liturgy and the struggling church. And that's why in the doxologies, in the hetimniyat, in the commemoration of saints, we commemorate all these saints because we feel that they are present with us. It's a real presence. And when you see an icon like the icon of Saint Mary, you see a halo of light around her head, the glory, as Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. So this halo of light is the glory. So we will be glorified with him. If we denied ourselves, if we carried our cross, if we followed his steps, we will be glorified with him. We will be glorified with him, as Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. And Moses and Elijah, they are dead, but they appear, Moses, because Elijah, you know, ascended to heaven alive. But they appeared. This confirms the dogma of resurrection of the bodies. We believe in the resurrection of the bodies. We believe that we will be resurrected and we will be raised to inherit the kingdom of God. As Jesus said, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of living, not of dead. So we believe that these saints who are now in paradise, they are living. They can hear us. And that's why we ask their intercession, we ask their prayers, because they are not dead. They are alive. And they were speaking with him, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So Moses and Elijah were speaking with him about his crucifixion, his sufferings, and his resurrection that will be accomplished at Jerusalem. So the disciples heard this talk, and it is confirmed for them that Jesus will be killed, and he will be resurrected. So their faith become stronger and stronger. And one of the reasons behind transfiguration is to confirm the faith of the disciples. So after or later, when they see Jesus on the cross, they shouldn't lose their hope, because they already saw his glory and they already heard the testimony of Moses and Elijah about his sufferings and his resurrection. And that's exactly what St. Peter mentioned in his second letter. Peter spoke about this event of transfiguration in his second letter. He said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter say, when we spoke to you about the power and the second coming of Jesus Christ, we are not following cunningly fables, because we were eyewitnesses. For what? For his majesty. What are you referring to, Peter? Peter continue and say, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." So Peter here is referring to transfiguration, when they were with him on the holy mountain and they heard the witness of God the Father for Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And he continues and says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." So here also he is referring to the prophecies, the prophetic word confirmed. Either that we have it in the Old Testament, or that they heard it between Moses and Elijah, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So Peter, in his second letter, first chapter, he was referring to the event of transfiguration. And he said, we were with him on the mountain, eyewitnesses. Moses and Elijah have many symbols. Moses symbolizes the law, the commandments. You know, Moses received the Ten Commandments from God on the mountain. And Elijah symbolizes the prophets. So both the law and the prophets now are witnesses for Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Man. So on the mountain of transfiguration, the divinity of Christ was revealed and confirmed by the witness of God the Father, by the witness of the law, by the witness of the prophets. Moses symbolizes the married people, because he was married. And Elijah, who was a virgin, symbolizes the virgins who kept their virginity. So in the kingdom of God, both kinds will inherit the kingdom of God, either the married or the virgins. They will inherit the kingdom of God and they will appear in glory. They will be glorified with God. Moses, it was mentioned about him, he was very meek and kind and patient. He has long suffering. زي ما الكتاب قال عنه ان هو كان حليما جدا. And Elijah was a fiery prophet. يسمون النبي الناري. He stood before Ahab and before Isabel and rebuked them very strongly. So God can use my nature, my personality, whatever it is, and he can use it in a good way. If just put our life in his hands, he can use it. If I'm a kind person, God can use this to save people and to serve others. And if I'm a fiery person, God can use it in a good way also. So Moses and Elijah reflects different personalities or different attitude in the service of God. Two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Okay, this transfiguration happened while they were doing what? While they were praying. As you heard, he went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. This glory, we cannot obtain this glory unless if we have this strong relationship with God. Through prayers, through being in the presence of God, then the glory of God will be reflected on us. Any revelation, any vision cannot happen unless if we are praying, if we are in this connection with God, in this bond with God. The revelation of St. John in the book of Revelation, as St. John said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. So and so happened to me. Poor is a person who does not pray, because he will not have this privilege of enlightenment. He will not have this privilege to see God, to feel his presence. So, if you want to know the mysteries of God, if you want God to reveal his mysteries to you, you need to have this strong and continuous relationship with him through prayers. Because through prayers, God will reveal himself to you. And you can see the heaven. I'm not speaking about the visions, but I'm speaking about the inner enlightenment. You can feel the presence of saints around you, like Moses and Elijah. You can feel the presence of God. You will feel the heaven is opened in front of you. But you cannot experience this unless through the time of prayers. Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and they were fully and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, when they start to realize that Moses and Elijah are departing, so Peter cried out and said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Master, it is good for us to be here. We don't want to leave. We want to stay here permanently in your presence and in the presence of the cloud of saints. As I told you, this is a church. Transfiguration is a church. Jesus Christ is the Old Testament people and New Testament people. And what is the church? The church, Jesus Christ on the altar, with the saints attending with us, and we attending the liturgy. And before we leave the church, at the end of the liturgy, we should have this feeling, and we should recite with St. Peter the same words, Master, it is good for us to be here. And that's why in the arrangement of icons around the church, before the western gate or western door, the icon should be the icon of transfiguration. So when we leave the church and we look to the icon of transfiguration, we remember what Peter said, Master, it is good to be here. So we leave the church, but we are full of feelings of longing and love to the church. And that's why when we lay a foundation for the church, for a new church, there is a special prayer for the laying of the foundation. The gospel is the gospel of transfiguration. Because as I told you, Jesus promised to build his church. And the first church was on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the church is the holy mountain of the transfiguration. And that's why when we lay the foundation, the cornerstone of the new church, we read this gospel, the gospel of transfiguration. And we have the icon of transfiguration at the back. Every time we see the icon and we leave the church saying, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us, it's good for us to be here. We should examine ourselves. Do we have this feeling? Do we really feel that it is good to be here? And we don't want to leave. We don't want to leave the church. We want to stay here. We want to dwell here, as St. David said in how lovely it is, your dwellings, O Lord of hosts. And Peter thought, let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. But not knowing what he said, because yes, the church is the kingdom of God, but the eternal kingdom is the heaven. So when we speak about a tabernacle, we speak about the eternal tabernacle, which is heaven, in which we will be with Moses, Elijah, and all the prophets, and will be with Jesus Christ himself. So while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And the cloud, usually cloud symbolizes the presence of God. In the Old Testament, when a cloud appears, no, that is the presence of God. God appears in clouds. And in ascension, Jesus Christ ascended on clouds. In his second coming, he will come on the cloud of heaven. So clouds means presence of God. So a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. Now, knowing all this, what God the Father asks us to do? This is my beloved Son, whom I sent to the world to save you. So hear him. And what was the commandment that Jesus asked the disciples to do and to keep just 6 days before the transfiguration? He who denies himself, carry his cross, follow me, will be glorified with me. And this is the core of Christianity. You cannot be a Christian, you cannot be called a Christian, unless you keep this commandment. Self-denial, carrying the cross, following the step of Jesus. So, God the Father, he asks us to listen to his only beloved Son, his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ asks us to deny ourselves and to carry our cross. So what is the importance of the Feast of Transfiguration? The Feast of Transfiguration reveals the divinity of Christ, the establishing of the church, the way or the path to the true glory. It is only through self-denial and carrying cross. It also gives us an idea about the resurrection of the dead, about our glory in Christ. And as I told you, that's why in the icons of saints we have this halo of light around their heads, because they are glorified as Moses and Elijah. May the blessings of this holy feast be with us all, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.